Psalm 144, a prayer for prosperity of God's people and for the protection of the King, God's servant. Blessed be Yahweh, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. My ally, my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield, in whom I take refuge, who makes the people my subjects. So God is the Pharaoh multiplied by 1,000. Obviously the powerful ally, the word for ally there, I'm translating ally, is the word hesed. So it's my hesed, but meaning the one in whom I'm in with a covenant, like my vassal lord, and I'm the king, obviously, and this is God who's making me victorious. Plenty of other images throughout the Bible for that image. Just read you a couple. Amos: on that day I will raise up the booth of David that is fallen, and repair its breaches, and raise up its ruins, and rebuild it as in the days of old. God will somehow intervene and get the king back into the position that he promised he'd be in, and so on. Other prophecies: Micah, you Bethlehem of Ephrathah. We met that last week, I think. Ephrathah, the district in which Bethlehem is, just south of Jerusalem. You are the one of the little clans of Judah. From you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. That's from Micah. David. I won't read any more of those. There's plenty of them. God raising up the king. So verse 3. Yahweh, what are we human beings that you have regard for us? We who are subject to death, that you think of us. We're like a breath. Our days are like a passing shadow. Reminds us of Psalm 8. What are we, you, what is man that you are mindful of him, was the old translation, and quite a good one. What are we human beings that you're mindful of us, being subject to death, mortal man, that you care for us? Surely, Psalm 39, everyone stands as a mere breath. The word for breath in Hebrew is hebel, hence the name Abel. In the story of Cain and Abel. Abel is Hebel. He's just there for a moment and gone. And Cain is, of course, means smithy. So that's the technology, the city person who was not liked by the people who were looking after their sheep and their goats and bringing their flocks in, and they were constantly being shooed away by the people who'd settled the land and wanted all the water they could for their crops. So there's this enmity between Cain and Abel, between the city and the country, that hasn't stopped. And that's the story. It's not about two brothers. It's about two brothers. We're all brothers. Why are we fighting each other? That's the story of Genesis. So we're all here like Abel. We're just a puff of wind, a breath. Everyone goes around like a shadow. Our years, Psalm 90, come to an end like a sigh. And Psalm 102, my days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass. Job, just to give you two more of these: a mortal human being born of woman, few of days and full of trouble, comes up like a flower and withers, flees like a shadow and doesn't last. And Ecclesiastes: who knows what is good for mortal human beings while they live the few days of their vain life pass like a shadow? So back to our psalm, verse 5. Bend your heavens, Yahweh, come down, touch the mountains so that they smoke, the way you did at Sinai. You know, that kind of Make the lightning flash, scatter them, send out your arrows and rout them. The arrows are the lightnings, of course. Rout our foes. Stretch out your hand from on high. Set me free and rescue me from the mighty waters, from the hand of foreigners. The mighty waters, the waters of chaos that are rising above, about to drown him. Not physically waters, but the waters of chaos. And here we have a refrain here in the italics that will, it's verse 8, we'll have it again in verse 11. From the hand of foreigners whose mouths speak lies and whose right hands are false. You can't trust what they'll do. And maybe they're taking a vow and you can't believe them. Their right hands are raised in an oath. Their words are not to be trusted. Their right hand holds a sword. But will they defend the king, or will they join the rebels and turn against him? Can't really trust them. Like, losing trust is an enormous thing, isn't it? You know, if it happens in a family, it's almost irreparable. If it happens in a church, it's almost irreparable. If it happens in a country, it's almost irreparable. It's such a... building up trust is such a slow, gentle, loving, caring thing. It can be frittered away very quickly by public lies and lack of trust. And once you've lost it, I'm talking of my own feelings now in regard to our government, really. Once you've lost trust, I don't believe anything they say. I really don't. Maybe I should, but I don't. And I can't be persuaded to believe them. So it's like a total lack of trust in the government of a country. It's a big thing to live with, really. And I think it's a sensible way to live. That's how I see it. I mean, I'd like to be able to trust, but I can't anymore because they've lied too often about too many critically important things. And I'm feeling the lack of it, the total lack of trust. It's quite massive. And you think, wow, what a sickness in the House of Denmark. You know, like in the House of... what a dreadful thing to do, to undermine trust with public untruths that are not ever reviled from. It's big, isn't it? I don't know what you do to regain it. It's very hard to regain. Well, that's what's happening to this. The king is the character in this. Their mouths speak lies and their right hands are false. Now there's a little thing that our little Dorothy gave me from her book, and at last it's in public display. Dorothy, I will sing a new song to you, O God. Upon the 10-stringed harp I will play to you. And here we have the different instruments. It's in public display. Dorothy, I will sing a new song to you, O God. Upon the 10-stringed harp I will play to you. And here we have the different instruments. There's the 10-stringed harp, if you'd like to count them. There's a lute. There's an oboe somewhere in the middle of all that.
The two pipes,
yeah, coming out. And there's the lyre. Or what they call the lyre. And so there, the instruments from... that no doubt is from Egypt, but it gives you an idea of the kind of instruments that were around at the time. And a very good impression of them. So I'll sing a new song to you, O God. Upon a 10-stringed harp I will play to you.
Father, they have their cones on their heads for their... so that
they do.
Yes.
Yeah. That's their perfumed oil in those cones.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you. What would we do without Dorothy? That's lovely. Of Barbara. Barbara, I kept calling her Dorothy. Okay, verse 10. You are the one... who gives victory to kings, who rescues his servant David. Here's some other. A king is not saved by his great army, a warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a vain hope for victory. By its great might it cannot save. Rescue me, the psalm concludes. Rescue me from the cruel sword. Deliver me from the hand of foreigners, whose mouths speak lies, whose right hands are false. There's the image, the refrain again from verse 8. So that must be the key point that he's making. May our sons in their youth be like plants full grown, our daughters like corner pillars cut for the building of a palace. May our barns be filled with produce of every kind. May our sheep increase by thousands, by tens of thousands in our fields. And may our cattle be heavy with young. May there be no breach in the passageways, no cry of distress in our streets. Happy the people to whom such blessings fall. Happy the people whose God is Yahweh.